Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Central College is celebrating the 50th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s visit to Pella. In the second part of a two-part program, let's go in-depth with Charles Pearson, project manager and historical researcher for the Iowa Civil Rights Trails Project. Charles, what's the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King to you?
It means a lot, especially out of the state of Iowa. I think a lot of people don't understand he'd been here 8 times. And Pella was the last visit he had in the state. So every time you have a Martin Luther King Week or a Martin Luther King Project, a lot of times people never talk about his personal legacy in our own state. And so for me to help develop that piece of history and use it for future generations, that means everything to me.
I had no idea he was here that many times.
Yeah, 8 times. He was here 8 times. His first visit to Iowa was Waterloo. The first college he ever visited was the University of Northern Iowa. His last visit to Iowa, Central College. And so the thing is that we feel like as Iowans, there's a great opportunity where if we put all those stories together, it'd be a good educational tool for future generations of Iowa kids.
And you're calling this the Iowa Civil Rights Trails Project, right? Mm-hmm. What do you mean by trails, civil rights trails?
Right, yeah. What I like to do is normally when you look at civil resources, you look at the downtowns and the statues, or you look at your city hall, places like that. Well, I felt like if you had a trail system that can connect other stories, so when it comes to a downtown, connecting the downtown to the neighborhood, or connecting the downtown to the riverfront where a lot of these historical stories happen. So I saw an opportunity where you could take non-motorized transportation resources, or you could take outdoor recreational resources, and if there's a building missing that might have told a story, or if there was a house that somebody used to live in, you could actually design a trail system and interpretive signage to replace that. So I thought that was a great opportunity to do something different to save our history.
So a different point along the trail would tell a different story.
Absolutely. So the way it's set up is every city or every community has its own story. So each community would take its own resources and tell its own story. And once it gets complete, now it's part of the trail. So, for example, if we were able to get all of Pella's civil rights or Civil War civil rights resources developed, we'd put that on the trail. And in that way, when it comes to tourists or people that visit the city, we're basically saying, don't just learn about the Tulip Festival, also learn about the Civil War and civil rights history of Pella. And so that is, to me, brings economic impact too as a tourism driver. And so when it came to the trail, also you could be somebody that's involved in outdoor recreation, or you could be a walker. And to have these trails is some way is another way of educating people in their own backyard. Because a lot of the history is in people's backyards. It's just never been developed or never been told. And so we figured now if we could use interpretive signage, or if we can use like wayfinding or apps like the new technology, that's another way of saving our history.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Charles Pearson, project manager and historical researcher for the Iowa Civil Rights Trails Project. The Civil War, by definition, is a civil rights story.
Absolutely.
But I don't think people think about that way.
Absolutely. You're hitting it on the nail. I think what I've learned, especially in the state of Iowa, we allow civil rights to have an African-American lens, and not understanding that civil rights in Iowa started with the immigrants. Iowa was the first free state west of the Mississippi River. Iowa was one of the states that said all men and women are created equal. And a lot of the women and men that fought for civil rights were immigrants. They weren't actually African Americans. African Americans in Iowa actually benefited from the immigrants establishing civil rights issues in our state. That's what made Iowa a leader in the civil rights movement when it was in its prime. And that still made Iowa a leader in civil rights today. But I think a lot of times when you look at civil rights and in the South, what's happened is people has allowed that to bleed into the state of Iowa civil rights history, which to me is not the correct way of telling that story.
Okay, so how is the story specifically from the South bled into Iowa in not so good ways?
I think from my research, people have to understand that the lynchings and the different tragedies that was happening in the South, when people started moving up north, a lot of people on one end was trying to bring those same habits to the North. But when it came to Iowa, because we didn't believe in fugitive slave law and we didn't believe in slavery, the way these people were able to implement slavery and Jim Crow down South, they didn't have the same ability to do it in the North. And so they had alternatives. So now you're talking about housing issues and school issues, but when it came to actual, like, the dogs and the water holes and that type of thing, those things didn't happen in Iowa. I think also when it comes to civil rights, you had other immigrants that was going through struggles themselves. So if you look at Irish Americans, if you didn't have a black population in a certain timeline in Iowa, the Irish got it as if they were African Americans. So we were looking at saying, okay, when it comes to stories like this, if we develop those stories too, we have a better idea and a better picture of what really was going on compared to just bits and pieces of what was going on at the time.
Now, I'm just going to say this. I don't know whether it's true or not, but this is what I feel, is that by you framing it this way, it's a different kind of story than we often hear, in the sense that what you're saying is that it collectively is our story, not a story of how it's traditionally framed as black versus white.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's a profound change. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. You hit it on the nail. Because what's happened is, when it comes to American history, what sometimes we do, we put a lot of trust into our history teachers or the people, our authors that, you know, write all these stories. Well, we know for a fact that when it comes to ethnic historical resources and the ethnic part of the story, it was never inclusive. And so now what we're doing is saying, okay, in the 21st century, how much is that history still left? How much of it can we still save? And whatever's left and whatever we can save, let's blend it in with the stuff that was saved and see what we come up with. So when it comes to, let's say, Irish and German-American immigrants, a lot of German-American immigrants were like the allies for African-Americans. Depending on, let's say, if you were in Davenport, the Quad Cities, the Irish immigrants were like the allies to African-Americans. And so some of those history writers that left those pieces out, it kind of hurt communities down the road. So if you're a fan of historical preservation, if you don't have the whole story, that means your area, your neighborhood might be missing a big piece of American history, all because somebody either purposely left it out or accidentally just forgot to put it in there. And so what we're basically doing is saying, okay, if we don't do something now, all of our history might be sacred. We might not have it no more. It's just going to disappear like the dinosaurs. And so in Iowa, especially with us economically developing the pace that we're doing right now, all of our historical places one day might not exist if we don't step to the plate and do something about it.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Charles Pearson, project manager and historical researcher for the Iowa Civil Rights Trails Project. And so you want communities to step forward to tell their stories.
Yes.
And so they're going to have to decide what their stories are.
Absolutely. It's no different, just like here being at the college. Even though we know that there's African-American history or German-American history or Irish-American history tied to Central College, the decision on if we're going to develop that story comes from the higher-ups. It's not going to come from the regular people in the community. It's going to come from the board members and the president of the college. And if they decide that they don't want that story to be developed or told, it won't happen.
What's our commitment to the truth and the complexities of what is called the truth, mm-hmm. and whose story gets to be told. I mean, mm-hmm. for example, let's just say that there's not a particular, let's say that there's a story that we aren't proud of. We right. need to tell that too. Don't
Absolutely.
We?
Yes, sir. I had that happen to me today when I was in the library. There's a story back in 1913. They used to have these May dances, and it was like a sophomore, senior type of concept. And I ran across a piece where there were African Americans that were either indentured servants or servants of wealthy people that lived in Pella. And some of the students that saw these African Americans that lived or worked in these houses, they gave them names that, you know, in the world today, you probably lose your job, you know, saying those kind of names. But they were sincere about how they felt about African Americans being in the public eye or being in their community. And so on my end, that story has never been told. No matter if it's good or bad, it has never been told because people here wanted to bury it. They thought, well, you know what, let's leave that out. What we're doing is saying the only way you can tell the whole story is to tell that story. And let the public be the judge. Whoever experienced that story, let them be the judge of it and not us be the judge and jury.
So how do we deal with a situation? I mean, I'm sure there's lots of really good civil rights stories that communities can tell. Mm-hmm. However, let's just say that a community, in some part of Iowa, was a hotbed of activity for the Ku Klux Klan. That's not exactly a Chamber of Commerce story.
Right.
Being told.
Right, absolutely. But the thing is, it's part of our history. So if the Ku Klux Klan is part of the great state of Iowa's American history, we have to be able to sit at the table and mold it where it fits the public. So we don't have to, we could take that story and say, okay, even though it has this, the Ku Klux Klan might be negative in Iowa history, it's still part of our history. And we, the people, have to figure out how to present it to the next generation or people that visit our great state.
Because if we cover it up.
Right, we're not telling the whole story. If we cover it up, that means we're not telling our story of Iowa. It's kind of like you might as well not even save the history, because if you can pick and choose what you want to tell about American history, then it doesn't make sense to even pursue that. We want to tell the whole story. And that way, no matter who you are or where you come from, there's a benefit from that. But if I sit here and say, in Pella, I want to take the Dutch American story and make it disappear, you know, people are not going to buy into that. And that's what we're saying with the rest of the stories. If we're not going to take the Dutch American piece and throw that away, let's not take the rest of the pieces and throw those away either.
So it's sort of like a person's life, or let's just say a movie or a book, that there's obstacles, that the protagonist has to overcome. There's mistakes that are made, but still, Iowa's sort of the protagonist, and we can lay out all of the different challenges along the way that, you know, or at least hopefully we're in the process of overcoming.
Absolutely. And I think that's why the Martin Luther King piece is so important, because Pella has an opportunity to do something magical when it comes to the history of King and our great state, but also our piece on the national civil rights movement. And so when you look at Martin Luther King and the things that he was trying to get achieved, and I was telling some people, King was like unique, because when it came to the labor movement, he was part of unionism. When it came to religious freedom, you know, he was involved with all the different faith-based institutions. And when it came to just people in general, he knew how to present it where everybody could see themselves. And so that's kind of like when I look at preservation or when I look at civil rights, I kind of look at it out of King's lens, kind of where everybody matters and everybody's important. And what I try to do is make sure that the people I work with, that their story can be seen and that their story is just as important as my story.
Is there a role for our listeners in this?
Oh, absolutely. If when it comes to American history, if it's factual, if the facts are right, you have every reason to develop that story, in some cases redevelop the story. When it comes to your community or your neighborhood, you want to jump in. If there's a historical property or a historical landmark or a statue or something that was important to you, jump right in and do your part. Tell that story. Make sure our kids know about it. People that visit your community or city, make sure they know about it, because that was your American story. That's your American history. And don't be ashamed of it. Make sure that you just make sure that you present it the right way. Now, if you present it the wrong way, then people might take it the wrong way. But if you sit down and you take that story, you mold it to as an educational component or an exploration type of component, everybody wins.
How do I know that I'm doing it the right way?
I think you're doing it the right way just because of who you are. You're just like me. You're a raving fan of American history, and anybody that's a true fan and has a true passion for history, we all win. There's no losers.
Thanks to Charles Pearson for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.